Chapter 6, 3 pages.
Animal Farm.
Go.
All that year, the animals worked like slaves, but they were happy in their work. They grudged no effort or sacrifice, well aware that everything that they did was for the benefit of themselves and those of their ideal thieving human beings.
Throughout the spring and summer, they worked a 60-hour week, and in August, Napoleon announced that there would be work on Sunday afternoons as well. This work was strictly voluntary, but any animal who absented himself from it would have his rations reduced by half. Even so, it was found necessary to leave certain tasks undone. This harvest was a little less successful than in the previous year, and two fields which should have been sown with roots in the early summer were not sown because the plowing had not been completed early enough. It was possible to foresee that the coming winter would be a hard one.
The windmill presented unexpected difficulties. There was a good quarry of limestone on the farm, and plenty of sand and cement had been found in one of the outhouses, so that all the materials for building were at hand. But the problem the animals could not at first solve was how to break up the stone into pieces of suitable size. There seemed no way of doing this except with picks and crowbars, which no animal could use because no animal could stand on its hind legs. Only after weeks of vain effort did the right idea occur to somebody, namely, to utilize the force of gravity. Huge boulders, far too big to be used as they were lying all over the bed of the quarry. The animals lashed ropes around these, and then all together, horses, cows, and sheep, any animal that could lay hold of the rope, even the pig sometimes joined in at critical moments. They dragged them with desperate slowness up the hill to the top of the quarry, where they toppled over the edge to shatter to the pieces below. Transporting the stone, when it was once broken, was comparatively simple. The horses carried it off in cartloads, and sheep dragged single blocks. Even Mario, and Benjamin yoked themselves into all the governess' cart and did their share. By late summer, a sufficient store of stone had been accumulated, and the building began under the superintendence of the pigs.
But it was a slow, laborious process. Frequently, it took a whole day of exhausting effort to drag a single boulder to the top of the quarry, and sometimes when it pushed over the edge, it failed to break. Nothing could have been achieved without Boxer, whose strength seemed equal to that of all the rest of the animals put together. When the boulder began to slip, all the animals cried out in despair at finding themselves dragged down a hill. It was always Boxer who strained himself against the rope and brought the boulder to a stop. To see him toiling up the slope inch by inch, his breath coming fast, the tips of his hooves clawing at the ground, and his great sides matted with sweat, filled everyone with admiration. Clover warned him sometimes to be careful not to overstrain himself, but Boxer would never listen to her. His two slogans, "I will work harder," and "Napoleon was always right," seemed to him a sufficient answer to all the problems. He made arrangements with the cockerel to call him 3/4 of an hour earlier in the morning instead of half an hour. And in his spare moments, of which there were not many nowadays, he would go alone to the quarry, collect and load of broken stone and drag it down to the site of the windmill.
Unassisted. The animals were not badly off throughout the summer, in spite of the hardness of their work. If they had no more food than they had in the Joneses' day, at least they did not have less. The advantage of only having to feed themselves and not having to support 5 extravagant human beings as well was so great, it would have taken a lot of failures to outweigh it. And in many ways, the animal method of doing things was more efficient and saved labor. Such jobs as weddings, for instance, could be done with a thoroughness impossible to human beings. And again, since no animal now stole, it was unnecessary to fence off pasture from arable land, which saved a lot of labor on the upkeep of hedges and gates. Nevertheless, as the summer wore on, various unforeseen shortages began to make themselves felt. There was need of paraffin oils, nails, string, dog biscuits, and iron for the horses' shoes, none of which could be produced on the farm. Later, there would also be need for seeds and artificial manures, besides various tools and finally the machinery for the windmill. How these were to be produced, no one was able to imagine.
One Sunday morning, when the animals assembled to receive their orders, Napoleon announced that he decided upon a new policy. From now onwards, Animal Farm would engage in trade with the neighboring farms. Not, of course, for any commercial purposes, but simply in order to obtain certain materials which were urgently necessary. The needs of the windmill must override everything else, he said. He was therefore making arrangements to sell a stack of hay and part of the current year wheat crop, and later on, if more money was needed, it would have to be made up by the sale of the eggs, which was always a market in Windington. The hens, said Napoleon, would welcome this sacrifice as their own special towards the building of the windmill.
And we're done. Thank you for listening.
No, we're not.